And welcome back to Regionally Speaking. I'm your host, Dee Dotson. Ironworks Corporation is hosting a two-day event, The Summit, an emerging of ideas, with the theme Cracking the Code on Entrepreneurship on April 25th and 26th. The event will offer one-on-one business coaching, breakout sessions focused on entrepreneurial support, and skill building for all experience levels, two keynote addresses, and more. Attendees will have a casual setting to build professional connections. The summit invites both startup founders and established business owners, offering practical resources and opportunities for sustained impact within Gary and beyond, drawing on the region's history of resilience and innovation. Joining us now to share more about the event is Faith Spencer, the founder, president, and CEO, as well as Ironworks Corporation co-founder and chief operating officer, Imani Ellis. Faith and Imani, thank you for joining us today on Regionally Speaking.
Thank you so much for having us.
Faith and Imani, we are just so excited to have you join us today on Regionally Speaking, and we'll spend some time speaking about your upcoming two-day summit. But before we do that, I would love for you to share with our listening audience a bit more about yourself, including your professional background. And Faith, I'll start with you.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Faith Spencer. I am the president and CEO of Ironworks. Outside of Ironworks, I also work full-time as a technology consultant out of Chicago, Illinois. So definitely got some technology experience there and related in cybersecurity network infrastructure, all things tech. You can consider that to be my space. And then, as mentioned, IW is my secondary thing. So,
and Imani, take a moment to share more about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am one of the founders as well as chief operating officer here at Ironworks, where we are this lovely business incubator. But outside of Ironworks, I am the founder and CEO of No Limit Living. It's a real estate investment firm based in the city of Gary. We are working to transform property. So got that lovely trifecta of business development, real estate, and I got my degree in robotics engineering and doubled in mechatronics and robotics engineering. So beautiful trifecta of business development, real estate, and technology and robotics.
Faith and Imani, in preparing for our conversation today, one of the things I learned is that Ironworks Corporation was created to bring the city of Gary together and to provide resources that will generate equity within the community. Take a moment to speak more to the genesis of your organization.
Yeah, so actually Imani, she was my college roommate. And so during that time, even prior to that, I had always been interested in entrepreneurship. And graduating from Hobart High School, I had the opportunity to compete in pitch competitions such as Innovate Within, the PNW Big Sale, where I started my first business as a senior in high school. And during that time for me, competing, I had seen no one like competing alongside me that looked like me. As an African-American woman, that was super important to me. And so that's kind of like what sparked the initial idea of Ironworks, was understanding that I am from Gary, Indiana area, born and raised there. And then I transferred over to Hobart. And knowing that I had so many friends that were talented and, you know, we always had different side hustles, always trying to make some money. It's just like, why don't the Gary students have the opportunity to compete in these competitions and learn what it means to be an entrepreneur? And so initially that was the initial thoughts of IW. But of course, right, I went away to school at Purdue West Lafayette and came back around senior year. Speaking with some entrepreneurial, some of my cohort people with the Started Up Foundation, as well as one of my mentors, and was saying, hey, you know, like I have some extra time senior year of college. I think I'm ready to kick off this idea, this concept that I'm really interested in, you know, not just because it's an opportunity for me to give back, but I know it's a need within the community, especially in the city of Gary, but also surrounding areas of students learning what it means to be an entrepreneur, but also recognizing like, yes, college is an option, trade school is an option, but you're never too young to start a business. And so that's what really, you know, that's what really started and united like the whole front of Ironworks and what we are meant to be. And during that time too, like I said, Imani was my roommate. So I said, hey, I got this idea. Also, she's from the Northwest Indiana area. I was like, I need some help. Are you going to help me? And so That's how our journey started with Ironworks, and officially, you know, we consider ourselves this launchpad to entrepreneurship, right? We focus on the foundational pieces of what it means to be an entrepreneur, and specifically how to get started. And so we've been on this grind as of January 31st, 2023, officially on this grind to waking people up, waking up the students, waking up existing small businesses, and recognizing that, hey, there's more to this business thing, this business pursuit, this entrepreneurial pursuit than just what you have, right? And so let's revisit what's currently built, and let's actually make that stronger. And so that's what we do in the day-to-day, right? We connect with students at the high school level, introducing them to the concept, but small businesses existing also reach out to us, right? Asking for advice and helping what makes the most sense for whatever it is that they're about to do next.
Again, we're here today to talk about the big event your organization, Ironworks Corporation, is hosting, the Summit and Emerging of Ideas. And I understand the ticket sales did in fact close a couple of weeks ago, but due to demand, you opened the books back up and there are now 50 more seats available. Take a moment to share more about what attendees can expect over the course of this two-day event.
Yes, the Summit, the Emerging of Minds, is a two-day entrepreneurial conference focused on the execution standpoint, execution lens, right? We have all of these businesses in Northwest Indiana, around the state, around the city, that just need to know where to go next. Everyone's always asking, where's this resource, or how do I do this? Or we're really in a place where we need to know how to move forward. And so the Summit is focused on bringing those resources, those knowledge, bridging those knowledge and resource gaps, bringing it to the table, bringing it right to where they are and where it's most needed. Some cool key aspects of the Summit. One is 2 days, Friday and Saturday, all day event. We are having explosive keynotes. One of them happens to be Jeff Hoffman. He is one of the founders of Priceline.com, as well as the inventor of the kiosk that you see in airports, right? This impact that has been had on everyone. But outside of those explosive keynotes, we are having breakout sessions catered to meet the entrepreneur where they are in their journey, right? And I'll let Faith touch on that a little bit more, but to give you a few other key aspects of the Summit, there's gonna be one-on-one business coaching where you're able to come with your business plan or come with just your idea and actually speak with someone on a one-on-one consulting basis, which would otherwise be a paid service, but you have that opportunity for free here at the Summit. You're gonna have some good food. It's gonna be a great time. The networking is gonna be amazing. We're going to be having some conversations on AI, some conversations on HR. Overall, this event is a culmination of resources that we very much have needed here in Northwest Indiana.
And I understand that your organization is always looking for collaborative partners to give up their time, their talent, and/or their resources. So what are some ways that community leaders, industry leaders, or organizations can either volunteer with your organization or make a donation to Ironworks?
Absolutely. They can get in touch with us for either of those capacities via our website or emailing us directly at team@ironworks.org. We are always looking for individuals to come on and support from a volunteer basis, support from a donation perspective. All of that helps keep us going every day, help us continue to make this impact.
I think honestly, like Imani said, the biggest thing is just bringing that awareness, and the more organizations put forth like saying, hey, like, I want to connect with you guys, this is something that I do and I know it ties back into entrepreneurship, the better. It helps us identify key players that we may miss, right? And we want to make sure that they are being included on the different aspects and pieces and the roles that they play.
Before I let you guys go, I just have to ask you, because this is going to be a wonderful two-day event, what's the one or two things that you hope that the attendees will take away from this magnificent event?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, right, like Imani mentioned, is that we are truly trying to drive awareness around entrepreneurship and the fact that Northwest Indiana businesses, they do have help and they do have resources. So bringing them into a place, one space where they can go and say, this is where you are and this is how we can help. That's the biggest thing, right? And the biggest, like, outside of that, being able to take away the fact that I know during this time while I'm here, there's at least one point where I'll have the opportunity to connect with someone one-on-one and get my questions answered, right? And not just answered from a, this is what I think you should do next, or it's very much telling you, this is how we think you should go about this, right? And how to do it. We're super focused on the execution aspect. No more guessing games. That's what we're trying to get rid of with this event, as well as further developing and building an entrepreneurial ecosystem so that people can see that, oh, maybe I don't have to go to Chicago to get help. Like, I have help here, right? I don't have to drive outside to a different city or a different state to get help. I have it in my backyard, right? And then we also recognize, too, that, you know, not everyone has the opportunity to really be able to afford those items where you can go out and go to different conferences and pay over $300-$400 for a ticket. And so we're trying to provide the resources and showcase that they are right here in the space and bringing other people right from outside of our four walls to shift that perspective and that mindset of how we may think and see things and how to approach things. They're bringing those different perspectives and showing like, hey, maybe you should do it this way. And so I'm just super excited to see the collaboration that's happening here. A lot of people are offering up their time to participate. And so I just want the Northwest Indiana community to recognize that this is their chance to get that assistance and hopefully propel them forward.
Full disclosure to our listening audience, Lakeshore Public Media is one of the many partners for this event, all dedicated to supporting regional entrepreneurship and growth. Faith and Imani, again, thank you so much for joining us on Regionally Speaking. We look forward to you having a successful event, and we can't wait to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Ironworks Corporations, the Summits, and Emerging of Ideas, Cracking the Code on Entrepreneurship, aims to equip Northwest Indiana entrepreneurs with essential resources, knowledge, and networking opportunities. For more information, visit www.ironworks.org. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media. March 20th marked the first official day of spring. And while 73% of American households do a deep cleaning every year, there might be one area you're unknowingly neglecting: your finances. Many financial experts believe that financial disorganization can cost you thousands of dollars or more, from losing important documents to forgetting to roll over old 401ks, not updating estate plans, and more. So while you're carving out time this spring to deep clean appliances, declutter closets, and donate kids' outgrown toys, Northwest Indiana financial advisor Greg Hammer joins us now to provide tips to help keep your financial house as spiffy as the rest of your home. Greg, as always, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Thanks for having me, Dee.
Absolutely. So, Greg, spring cleaning is a time when many of our listeners are spending time decluttering, donating outgrown toys, and getting rid of the dust bunnies. But you say that that cleaning up your financial house is just as important as cleaning the rest of your home. Where should our listeners begin?
Well, I think the easiest place to start is by decluttering, you know, purging outdated documents. And when getting rid of the documents, make sure you shred it, not trash it, because it has a lot of personal information that you don't want just thrown in the garbage. And, you know, according to the IRS website, you know, receipts that support income, deductions, or credits, keep them until the period of limitation runs out, or in time when you can amend your IRS if you need to. It's generally 3 years. After that, you filed your original return, you can't go back to it. 7 years if you claimed a loss for a worthless security or bad debt deduction. And then just keep records indefinitely if you ever had a fraudulent return issue, you know, where somebody grabbed your info and you had to deal with that.
Now, Greg, once you've decluttered and or purged your financial documents, you state that it's wise to look to your financial plan to make sure it's up to date with your current financial goals.
Yeah, and obviously if you don't have a financial plan, make this time when you start one. You know, and if you're just starting out, you know, maybe your plan includes starting to save for an emergency fund, you know, timeline to pay off debt, or how much you're going to allocate for a child's education or your retirement plan. But if you don't have a plan, it's much more challenging to reach your financial goals and your future dreams. Now, if you haven't looked at your plan in a while, Now again is the time to review and ensure that you're still on track to reach your goals. You know, maybe you decide to change the date of your retirement, or maybe you never had an estate plan when you first were married, but now you have a couple of children, you need to update financial documents. There's a variety of reasons, you know, why you might need to update your financial plans.
Since you mentioned estate plans, let's discuss what's next. So most people don't associate estate planning with spring cleaning. Why should estate planning be part of your spring cleaning routine?
Yeah, and just for clarity, Dee, you know, your estate plan provides directions, right, for your lawyer, your advisor, your loved ones, possible charities, on how you want your assets to be distributed upon death. It also provides directions of who will be your financial and medical power of attorney should you become incapable of making those decisions for yourself. And, you know, most importantly, the estate plan provides directions for your children's guardians if you have young children. So it doesn't happen all the time, but more often than you think, you know, people get busy with work, kids' schedules, life, right? And they forget to add or change beneficiaries on their estate plan. You know, for example, when you have a child or when they go through a divorce, they might forget to remove an ex-spouse, those types of things. So when beneficiaries are up to date, you decide how your assets will be distributed as opposed to courts deciding how those assets would be distributed and things that you may not agree with based on their decisions and not yours.
You know, Greg, and sometimes it's easy to put financial tasks on the back burner because we just don't want to think about it. But describing how the courts can make a decision on your behalf because you didn't take the time to change a beneficiary is a perfect example of why it's important to carve out some time to kind of go through your finances while you're in the midst of your spring cleaning routine. I want to go through a couple more financial cleanup tips. I'd like to talk about the market now. I think most listeners that are investors agree that the markets have been more volatile and have dipped more than they expected so far this year in 2025. And last month, we dedicated an entire segment on market volatility, and you provided listeners with advice about how to be more strategic rather than emotional when making investment moves to potentially decrease your risk of buying high and selling low. What are the main takeaways from last month's segments that individuals can use when reviewing their portfolio?
Yeah, obviously the market volatility can be a substantial risk for investors, so it's important to rebalance your portfolio as needed in a volatile market. It might be annual, but it might also be quarterly. And you should really know your risk tolerance. You know, that's the financial risk you are willing to take and willing to lose, you know, what your appetite for that volatility is. And however, you know, having a diversified portfolio can help prevent your portfolio from completely losing value if one stock, you know, or sector declines. So proper diversification includes owning a variety of asset classes, not just stocks like equities, but also bonds, cash, other securities that, you know, tend to move in opposite directions to help managing or help manage the investing risk. And you know, when you have a plan, when you're properly diversified and you're comfortable with your risk appetite, you are less likely to make emotional decisions and do things like buy high, sell low, you know, as you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Greg, we just spoke about how investors can prepare for a volatile market. But what about those who haven't started investing yet? When we're reviewing their finances, or when they're reviewing, I'm sorry, I should say their finances, they might want to start investing. But is it smart to start investing with the markets so volatile or even down, particularly right now?
Well, and actually, Dee, there's no better time than today to start investment, regardless, right? But because also in down markets, you might find stocks on sales, you know, things that were overpriced before, they've had this little bit of adjustment, you're going to get more value for what you're purchasing. And to reverse what we're saying earlier, you know, you buy low and hold on to those stocks for a longer period, and then hopefully sell them higher than what you originally paid. But you can also consider investing in a group of stocks, you know, like an ETF rather than individual stocks. And ETFs are just the electronically traded funds. But most importantly, if you're a first-time investor, always, always, always seek some type of guidance, professional would be the best, and educate yourself on markets as much as possible, you know, so that you can help develop that plan that you're comfortable with.
You know, Greg, we are on the last financial cleanup task, and that is review retirement plan. Retirement can seem far away or far off for many people, but it's really not. I just want to say that. What should they consider?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Dee, right? Know your time horizon. You know, that's how much time that you have before you retire. So your time horizon will help you understand how much your contribution should be. And obviously, the closer you are to retirement, the more money you need to invest in retirement savings each month. And the earlier you start for retirement, the more money you will have. If you're working for an employer, make sure you sign up for any benefits that are available to you. You know, business owners can have additional ways to save for their retirement and that of their employees. You know, use the financial spring cleaning time to look for any old 401ks that maybe never rolled over or rolled them into an IRA or possibly a Roth. Consider Roth conversions, you know, because it may make sense for you given the current tax brackets and, you know, some of the things that might be happening with the new tax code. Determine, you know, your financial needs and review when you are planning on retiring, and you might have to adjust or delay your retirement plans if the market continues to slide. So again, it's redundant, but assess risk tolerance versus investments. The closer you are retiring, you might want to move some of the riskier investments into more guaranteed instruments, but most importantly, like develop a plan, especially to decrease taxes in retirement. How should that distribution plan look?
Greg, we have about a minute or so left. Before I let you go, do you have any final words?
Yeah, as most of your listeners are aware, you know, life is busy, and it's easy to set aside these financial tasks that, you know, don't have to be done immediately. Financial spring cleaning isn't just about adding another task to your spring cleaning to-do list. It's about, you know, taking some dedicated time to complete these tasks so you can take control, you know, of your money and secure your financial future.
Greg, I must say this, that for me at least, one of the key takeaways that you shared in our conversation today, particularly for first-time investors, is to always, always, always seek professional guidance and educate themselves as well. So if anyone is interested in connecting with you, Greg Hammer, President and CEO of the Hammer Financial Group, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, our site has a lot of information on it. It's just the hammerfinancialgroup.com. And, you know, there's an opportunity if they have questions to set up a phone call with myself or one of the advisors.
Greg Hammer is the president and CEO of Hammer Financial Group in Cherryville. Greg, as always, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking, and we look forward to having you back with us next month.
Thanks so much, Dee. I enjoy.
For more information, visit www.hammerfinancialgroup.com. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media. Early literacy forms the foundation on which a child's academic and life success is built. Extensive research shows that children who achieve reading proficiency by third grade are more likely to graduate high school, pursue higher education, and secure stable employment. In contrast, those who struggle with reading at this critical stage often encounter greater obstacles, both academically and in life. As Indiana works to improve early literacy rates, the latest Indiana Reading Evaluation and Determination, or iRead3 results, highlights both progress and persistent gaps, demanding urgent attention. Joining us now to share more from her latest column is Tammy Silverman, the president and CEO of Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, as always, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, absolutely, Tammy. So, Tammy, the title of this month's column is Early Literacy in Indiana, A Call to Action. And it's fitting for me to discuss this topic, particularly because we here at Lakeshore Public Media have embarked on, as I share with you a little bit offline, this multi-year multimedia project called Building Blocks, which is dedicated to exploring the science of early childhood development and addressing the challenges faced by families here in Northwest Indiana. So I want to ask you, why does Indiana Youth Institute emphasize the importance of early childhood reading?
Well, it is one of those building blocks, right? So I think that tie-in is wonderfully perfect, that we know that children who have that strong foundation in early literacy actually achieve better proficiency. They're more likely by third grade. So, you know, if you start them early, then they're better readers by third grade. And that third grade reading level and that third grade reading proficiency is tied to high school graduation rates, the pursuit of higher education, and the ability of the young reader to someday secure stable employment. So it all ties together and it starts when they're very young.
Tammy, as you just alluded to, and I should note, it's in your latest column as well. Each year, Indiana's third grade students take the iRead 3 assessment, which evaluates foundational reading skills such as phonics, vocabulary, and comprehension. And I want to ask you, what do the results of the latest standardized test reveal about proficiency levels for students in the Hoosier State?
Right. So our third graders' proficiency levels went up just a little bit. And right now they're at 82.5 of students have demonstrated that literacy proficiency. That's up from just under 82%, 81.9 the year prior. And so while that's good, right, like we're heading in the right direction, that's still lower than the pre-pandemic rate. And so that tells us, one, I mean, obviously we want that to be 100%. We need all of our kids to be proficient readers. And we still haven't quite caught up from before the pandemic.
And unfortunately, Tammy, as you shared in your latest column, there are barriers that don't allow for all Hoosier youth to be on the same playing field in terms of development, literacy development, I should say. But programs like On My Way Pre-K provides access to high quality preschool for low income 4-year-olds. Where does Indiana rank in terms of funding for such programs?
Yes, right now, 42% of children under age 3 live in those households that are considered federal poverty levels. And so we know that that means that not yet all of Indiana's kids can access those high quality, as you said, high quality early literacy and early learning programs. So we still have a long way to go as far as making sure that those early systems strengthen the ability of all of our kids to learn to read.
You also discuss data reflecting disparities like income, as which you just discussed, as well as race in terms of our youth not being equipped with those basic foundational reading skills. I want to pivot for a moment and have you talk about programs such as Reach Out and Read Indiana and how they help build a strong foundation for children. So can programs like Reach Out and Read Indiana help close learning gaps?
Of course they can. Of course they can. The more that we're all working together, the better it's going to be for our kids. And so when you talk about the program that you all have going on of the building blocks and engaging families, that's one component. Reach Out and Read is another one of those. Reach Out and Read, it's a national program. We have our own group here, Reach Out and Read Indiana. It's another one of those programs that's dedicated to giving young kids in particular a foundation for success. And it works with pediatricians and clinicians. A lot of times folks are pretty diligent about taking their little ones for their updates and their checkups and those kinds of things. So this make sure that this isn't another task for parents to do, but really just embed that introduction to early literacy in with those child checkups.
Tammy, before I let you go, you just shared that the more we work together, the better it is for all Hoosier youth. Now, I want to ask you, how can we encourage parents and caregivers, our friends, our family, our neighbors, to make early learning a priority for all Hoosier youth?
Right. Well, there's a few things. First of all, making sure that we know and that we're all talking about where are those good early, high-quality preschool programs and making sure that the families that need them can get access to them, right? The other thing is a little easier, and it's really just making sure that we're modeling that as adults, that kids see us reading books, right, and talking about reading and reading to them and with them. And so we need to walk the walk when we're talking about literacy so that our kids grow up with a culture and a comfort around literacy and reading in all of its various forms.
Tammy Silverman is the president and CEO of Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, as always, I appreciate you joining us on Regionally Speaking, and we look forward to having you back with us next month.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
For over 3 decades, Indiana Youth Institute has supported the youth services field through innovative trainings, critical data, and capacity building resources, aiming every effort at increasing the well-being of all children. For more information, visit www.iyi.org. Corey Arman is a Gary native with a dream of revitalizing his hometown by renovating homes as well as commercial developments. Investing in the future of the city of Gary is his passion, and he joins us now to talk about one of his newest projects that he hopes will help transform the image of his beloved city. Corey, thank you so much for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Pleasure to have me. Thanks for having me.
Corey, much of the conversation around the city of Gary centers on blight and sadly disrepair, right? Abandoned homes, long gone businesses, and a once thriving downtown district that is now desolate. And that's where you come in for your community. Before we explore your career as a real estate investor, let's start our conversation by sharing with our listeners a little bit more about yourself, including your background in corporate America.
All right. Well, a little bit about me. Born and raised in Gary, Indiana. Graduated from one of the best high schools that was in Gary, which is Roosevelt.
Or dear old Roosevelt, right?
Dear old Roosevelt. Yes, ma'am. I graduated in 99. Went away to school at Purdue in West Lafayette for a few years. And I ended up coming back home and finishing up here at IU Northwest. Graduated with a bachelor's in business. And I was also working at Cargill, which is the world's largest privately owned company. And at that particular plant, we made sugar, cornstarch, corn syrup, you know, all the ingredients and pretty much the main ingredients in everything that we eat and drink. And that was my professional career, working as an inventory manager there for 15 years. Now, while I was working at Cargill, I was also investing in real estate on the side. I was buying houses, fixing them up. I was buying one house at a time each year until I built up my portfolio. So working 9 to 5 during the day, evening, buying houses, fixing them up, renting them out, doing repairs, you know, things like that. And I did that for 15 years as well. And so that's where we are today. So real estate, all while I was working 9 to 5 and up until my 15th year, which was my last year at my corporate job, which is at Cargill. I walked away from the job to continue to pursue real estate full time. And as of January 3rd of 2023, it's been 1 year. So it's a year and some change now that I've been off the job and pursuing real estate full time. And so far, it has been one of the best decisions I've made.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, many people see images of blight. And if I'm going to be honest, I don't think they can envision or even take a page from the city's current mayor, Jerome Prince, of reimagining Gary Wright. Now, your passion and your hopes are what led you to put your money where your faith is, to change the narrative about your community. Talk about the story of your beloved city.
Well, again, growing up here in Gary was a wonderful thing. I've learned a lot. Going away off to school, traveling while I was in school, going to see other places, and then coming back home to finish up. It gave me, when I came back home and saw, when I compared my city, Gary, Indiana, to where I was at, you know, in West Lafayette and other surrounding cities when I traveled, man, it's hard to envision or to see or to expect or just envision change or something different when you're in it, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But when you go other places and then you come back, when you see something different and you come back and you see things haven't changed or have gotten worse, I mean, it's one of two things that you can do. You can either settle with what you see and be comfortable or do something about it. And I chose to do something about it. Nothing, you know, I'm no large outfit or anything like that. But my thing was, if I can take just one property at a time and slowly start to revitalize, take a property that's on a decent block, where a block is, you know, maybe 80% occupied, but it has a couple of abandoned houses. That was when I first started off. Those were my initial properties that I sought after, the ones that were the eyesores on particular blocks. And I'll go after those properties in particular to kind of help, you know, finish off beautifying that block. And that has been my strategy, you know, from you know, when I first started. So, and it has kind of grown, and I've also I'm a part of a real estate group, and most of us have that same energy. We're trying to take these blocks, you know, one by one. We can't transform the whole city at one time, but it's incremental growth, and you just take 1, 2, 3 properties at a time and just slowly redevelop as much as you can. And, you know, it's rewarding when you take something that has been left vacant, abandoned, and you take it and you revitalize and bring it back to life. The neighbors are happy and satisfied. It's another property that's put back on the tax roll that's producing, mm-hmm. you know, income for the city to use off the taxes.
Right.
So, and I mean, it's a sense of pride in myself when I can say, hey, you know, I've taken this thing that was left abandoned and brought it back to life. And you're providing a nice, clean, affordable house for someone to live in.
Corey, when people see a newly rehabbed home, a revitalized business, it not only sparks interest, but I think to some degree it's human nature almost to become excited about the community, right? So is that your hope with the work you do as a real estate investor?
It is. It is. We want people to be excited about the community, be excited about the redevelopment, excited about the investment. And also, you know, I want it to be contagious, and not to say that everyone will have the same means or resources to do what it is that I'm doing, but there's many ways that people will support. I mean, support can be as simple as, hey man, good job, you're doing an excellent job. You know, keep it going, you know, and you know that feels good. Or hey, mm-hmm. see me and my dad working, you know, bringing water, or actually, you know what? I know someone else that has a house that's been left vacant, and you might be interested in it and buying it, you know, giving us leads to find other properties that we didn't recognize or missed or didn't see. Mm-hmm. And they let us know, hey, there's a property over here. We want to see if you're interested in. And truth be told, majority of my leads and properties and investments have come from just word of mouth. People see what we're doing, we're doing it, and they pass the word. And they say, hey, we know someone else. My aunt has a house that she's getting rid of, and you know, but it's been sitting vacant. Someone passed, and the family doesn't want the house, and they just want to get rid of it. You know, so that's where a lot of our resource or our leads come from.
Right. That's quite interesting. Now, Corey, that leads me to this. You know, you think about rising inflation, a housing crisis, and sky high rent. Let's talk about how your organization, Armand Investment Group, is helping to create affordable housing in the region.
Well, our strategy is to, when we're investing in the properties, we try to, you know, buy as low as we can. We keep our material costs fairly reasonable as we can. And all of the property management and construction and rehab is all done within the company, which makes it so we don't have to, you know, sub out. What I mean by sub out, just get outside contractors to come in and do work, which will, you know, inevitably, you know, be a little bit more expensive. So we train people from within the organization, within our company, and we get those guys up to speed. And that way we can kind of keep our costs as low as we can, but still fair to, you know, the store that we're purchasing from, the labor that we're paying. And then that way we can forward that discount price off to the end user, which who will be the tenant for the property.
Now, I want to go back for a moment, Corey, if we can. So you made the decision to leave your corporate job and focus full-time on your residential and commercial real estate investment group about a year and a half ago, right?
Correct.
And you were featured on CBS News, and at that time, they called what you were doing transformative. Let's talk about one of your latest projects, AIG Business Center, a mixed-use property. What inspired that latest project?
So what inspired that project was, number one, I knew I was leaving the job. I needed an office space for myself to conduct business. You know, investing in real estate in Gary throughout the past 15 years and all the other investors and people that I know that were doing business in the city of Gary really did not have a place to do business in the city of Gary, right? So we would have to go meet mm-hmm. at, you know, just the surrounding city, coffee shops or restaurants or libraries, you know, in other cities to kind of sit down, discuss business, discuss contracts, you know, negotiate deals and things like that. So with that, what drove this idea was AIG Business Center. I know I needed an office space. So in this building, it's 100 feet long. We purchased it and I carved out my own personal office in the back. And with the remaining space, I said, well, what would be the best use for the rest of the space? So with other people that, like myself, that was in the community that needed a space to do business. So I dedicated the rest of the space to all of the local business owners with the shared office space, the conference. conference room, the common area, network printer, all of the resources that we will go outside the community to conduct business. Now I brought it all here in this business, in this building, which is AIG, which is now AIG Business Center. So it's a up-to-date, modern, newly remodeled space where local and small business owners can come, either A, have their own private office, to have their own meeting that comes fully furnished, or if you just need a place to meet people from, you know, meet people for business meetings, sign contracts, or just a place to come and get on the computer and have some quiet time. And we have a high-speed Wi-Fi. You bring the laptop, come down and, you know, just sit down and get on the laptop and research some things.
Now, Corey, in the time that we have left, I want to pose this question to you. What you are embarking on is nothing short of extraordinary for the city of Gary, but you can't take it on alone. And you did mention earlier that you are part of a real estate investment group, but are you encouraging others to invest in the city of Gary?
I am. And that's the reason why I share as much as I do via social media, the interviews and things like that. I mean, again, just like you said, I can't do this alone, but again, I can't wait for anyone else to do it.
So
I'm taking the lead on certain things, like with this business center. This building was left, this building that I'm in now has been vacant for, I think, almost 10 years.
Wow.
And if you ride by the building now, it is one of the best looking buildings on this side of Broadway in this area. Again, and hopefully with that, you know, I brought up the aesthetics on the outside, all new siding. I mean, it's a beautiful building. And when the local business owners see what they see now, I see things just as small as, like, I come here every day and I stand outside and I pick up the trash that's around. Now I see other business owners doing the exact same thing. I'm trying to lead by example. You know, a lot of people, you know, and again, like I want to repeat myself in saying that I do inspire, motivate other folks to invest in Gary as well, but I can't wait until they do it or wait until I get a group together.
Right.
God has blessed me with the means and the mental wherewithal to do this thing on my own this far. And now, you know, I'm just hoping that people are seeing the fruits of my labor as far as, you know, the transformation of the building, the transformation of the block, and, you know, and I'm inspiring them to, you know, just the visual to do the same thing.
Now, as you were sharing that, I have to throw this one more question into you as in the minute or so that we have left, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the buzzword right now is gatekeep, right? Or rather, don't gatekeep. You hear that word a lot. And you've shared that. You share information out about the work you're doing, reinvesting in Gary via social media. But I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, people, they don't necessarily know. They see you, they see your story, they're excited about it, but they may not really know where to begin. And so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Would you be open to mentor others looking into getting into real estate investing, particularly investing in the city of Gary?
So let me be careful how I answer this. Mentor. So the group that I'm in, the real estate group that I'm in, it's a not-for-profit, right? The name of the group is NICIA, N-I-C-I-A. Our website is NICIA.org. NICIA stands for Northwest Indiana Creative Investors Association. We are a local group of a diverse group of real estate investors. When I say diverse, I mean realtors, attorneys, accountants, investors, general contractors, plumbers, electricians, you name it, all things real estate, insurance agents, notaries, anything, all things real estate. And we meet twice a month. Now, this is a group that when people ask about mentoring or, hey, can you help me out? I want to learn. I immediately direct them to our organization, which is over 150 members. We don't all meet at the same time, but it's over 150 members.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet twice a month. And we go, we have classes on real estate. We do deep dives. We go to each other's projects to see the progress from beginning, middle, to the end. We just we talk about numbers as far as what it takes to invest, what you expect to get out. We go through terminology, ROI, return on investment, ARV, after repair value. Like, we do all of those things in that group. And that's when we speak of mentoring, that's where I direct everyone to go. Because when you say mentoring a lot, you know, people immediately get to the, hey, I just want to pick your brain. Hey, right. I want to meet you for coffee and just ask you a gazillion questions on how do you do this? How do you do that? Okay, hey, mm-hmm. when they call you, ask me, how do you, and then you give them all of your time and all of your resources, and they turn around and not do anything with it. You know, right. and that's the hardening thing about it, because I've mentored, I've volunteered, and I've poured into a lot of people, and they turn around and they don't follow through. I'm not saying that I'm getting something from the follow through, but mm-hmm. the joy I would get out of it is seeing you actually follow through, you actually going through and picking a property and fixing it up, renting it out, selling it if you like, rent it out if you like, or moving it if you like. You know, so we have to be careful of how we give our time and make sure that the people that are interested, that's really interested and that are really action takers, and that's why I direct them to the group. Because if you're really an action taker, then you want to be around the people that are doing what it is that you're interested in doing, right?
Right.
And that's where I got a lot of my motivation from, because for the first couple of years investing in real estate, it was a lonely journey, because I was doing it on my own and I didn't have a support group, people that I can lean on and say, hey, you know, ask questions to. It was just, yeah, I read books, you know, watch Flip This House and watch HGTV and kind of watch what they were doing and, you know, trying to bring those ideas here. But it's a whole nother element when you are around people that are doing that same thing or trying to do it, to have questions that you may have or ask questions that you never thought to ask. So, but I hope that answers your question.
You know, I am so glad, honestly, that I was led to ask you that question, because while I am just so excited about all of the information you've shared about you reinvesting in the city of Gary, how excited I am for what led us to have our conversation today, your mixed-use business building in Gary, but you sharing the information that I know so many probably have never heard of. I've never heard of this organization, NICIA, and so I am so glad that you shared that, because I believe that you sharing that information alone will help so many of our listeners that are interested in taking that. As you said, people, they don't take, they call, they pick the brain. I have many friends who are in real estate, and I want to ask questions, but sometimes I'm intimidated and or the gatekeep. But hearing that there is a community of people out there, professionals who are out there that are willing to pour back into you, to be philanthropic, to share of their time, their talent, and sometimes of their resources, I think that that is going to help so many of our listeners. So I'm so glad that you shared that information. I really and truly am.
Well, it is a great resource, a great tool. And even though I'm the vice president, I'm not trying to sell the group to anyone, but I'm telling you, this is where it all starts. You
Absolutely.
Need to be in that room. And there's not, and there's enough to go around for everybody. Like there's enough properties mm-hmm. that in the city of Gary. That,
yeah.
I mean, there's enough for everybody. So there's nothing to hide. There's no secrets to keep. There's enough for everybody. The more, the better.
If someone's listening right now, they have a small business that they're running out of their home, or they may work for a big corporation downtown, but they work out of their home, but they need to get away and have some quiet office space. How can people who are interested in utilizing your space get in contact with you?
All right, so we have a couple of ways. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. We're located at 3709 Broadway here in Gary, the side entrance. Now, most of the people will notice that. So this is a multi-use building. So the front of the building is actually a restaurant. It's not my restaurant, but it's we rent. I built the restaurant space out for my tenants, and I rent the space out to them. It's King's Wings and things. But the front part of the building is the restaurant, and then on the side off the parking lot, that's where the office space and business center starts. So it's two separate business entities in this one building. But I can be reached at my phone, which is area code 219-613-2849. We also have a website, which is AIGBusinessCenter.com. And on that website, it has all of our packages that we offer for either just a monthly membership for people that just want to have access to the building, or for the annual lease agreement for the companies that small business owners that want to have a office space, have a home office space that comes fully furnished. We also have business mailing address. We have a business, we have a mailbox cluster. You get your own business mailing suite for those who work from home, have small businesses at home, or just have virtual business, but they need a business address.
Wow.
And they don't want to use the P.O. box.
Right.
You know, that's real important for businesses when they are applying for business credit and things like that, or when they're registering their business. They don't want you to use the P.O. box, and it's a little challenging when you're trying to get business credit and grow your business when you're using your business, your home address. So even though you may not have a physical office here, you will have a business suite mailing address where you can get all of your business mail and all that stuff sent to. You get your own key. It's private. You get your own key. You come in and check it, you know, daily or how often as you want. So again, we can be reached at AIGBusinessCenter.com. Our Facebook page is AIG Business Center. It also has the flyers with all our different packages on that, AIG Business Center. And again, my phone number is area code 219-613-2849. Oh, hey, feel free to stop by if you're in the area. We're just 1 mile, less than a mile south of Indiana University, right here on Broadway, the main thoroughfare in Gary, Indiana, right here on 3709 Broadway.
Corey, you know, you have shared, again, you have shared so much in our time together today about the work that you're doing in the city of Gary, as well as the work that you're doing to encourage and inspire others to begin to reimagine the city of Gary. And so I thank you so much for spending time with us today on Regionally Speaking.
No problem. I thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it. And I hope this information that I gave either inspired someone, motivated someone, push someone over the curve of, hey, getting out of that fear of, hey, what should I do, you know, and letting them know that there are resources out there, and you know, people ride by, you know, talk about Gary all the time. Oh, Gary is this and Gary is that. No, Gary is on the comeback. And there are a lot of us out here that are contributing, that are trying, that are dedicating our resources to bringing our city back where it was in the golden days. And I look forward to speaking to you all soon to give another report on how we transformed the whole street of Broadway or something like that. But yeah, this was great, and I thank you, Lee. I really appreciate it.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for this week. Thanks to each of our guests, and we'll be back with you next week with an all-new show.